Okay, great. So what I'm looking at is, you know, the obviously the sort of occasion for the story is the row about royalties in the U.S. And I'm looking at the, you know, what's happening in this space in Canada and what the prospects are. And you know, obviously I'm interested in your concerns about the tariff 22.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe a starting point would be, you know, for you to tell me where you're coming from in terms of what your position is, what role it plays, and you know, how as a business how it works. You know, is it a viable business for you now? And
sure. Okay. Well, the station's called Rant Radio, and www.rantradio.com. And we've been broadcasting for about 3.5 years now. Since January 3rd, 1999, so quite a while, probably the longest-running Canadian internet-only radio station.
We're listed as the number one industrial radio station on the web. For that genre of music, we're pretty much the top.
In the Shoutcast listings, which is pretty much the be-all, end-all of radio station listings.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, we play industrial music, and... we work nonprofit. We don't take in any money at all.
Uh-huh.
So from a business standpoint, it's probably not that fantastic because nobody's making any money. But, you know, it beats playing golf, and this is what we do for fun.
So we don't have any advertising whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
We just play music. We also have some talk shows on the station.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite popular. Very loyal listener base.
It should be noted also that most of our music that we play here is, pardon me, all of the music we play here is, we've gotten express permission from all of the artists to play it. We're not just taking music off of Napster or something to that effect. We've actually had contact with the bands. We've said, do you want us to play your music? Do you mind? It is just a way for you to get the information out. And they say, absolutely, you bet. And I could understand how some people would have issue if we were just taking music from Britney Spears or NSYNC or any of these other, you know, boy and girl bands and just playing it in order to get listeners.
Right.
But we don't. We're catering to a genre of music that is not part of the mainstream. It's music that people just can't find anywhere else. I mean, these are very small labels produce these albums. They're bands that have had some exposure, but not nearly enough. And it's a whole genre of music that's just passed by because there's no way for people to hear about it.
Right.
So we broadcast out of Canada is the primary place that we broadcast out of. And we've had mirrors over the 3.5 years all over the world. Currently, we have a mirror in the U.S., and we also have a mirror in Sweden, and also mirrors in Canada. So in multiple different countries.
Do you understand what a mirror is and how that works?
I don't know. I know what it is. I'm not sure that I understand how it works.
It's effectively kind of a rebroadcaster is all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, another relay, so people have another place to listen to it. So we have a relay in Europe, so people in Europe, it's better for them to tune into the Europe one because it's easier for them to get the station there.
Right, yeah. So that makes, with the mirror site in the U.S., does that bring you under the...
CARP.
CARP.
Yeah.
Yes, that puts us in the situation where I had to look into CARP.
Yeah.
And yes, it does affect us. Because they dictate that it's the point of origin where people listen to the broadcast is where it affects, and not just the originating source. So it does bring us into play with CARP. And so I've been looking at that over the past little while.
Making sure that we're not going to run into any problems there. But with the advent of Tariff 22, I mean, this is starting to be really quite concerning because there are a lot of stations out there that this is going to completely destroy.
And already has started.
Yeah, and CARP has already started to put down music that was being pumped over from Europe and things like that, ambient music, really kind of experimental music that a lot of people just haven't seen yet and hasn't hit the mainstream and now may never hit the mainstream. And people who are not involved within the this kind of cyber culture, so to speak, would never ever find. And I think that that's tragic, because music should be something that is new and bold and exciting, and there should always be choices for folks to see and experience, and that way they can make an informative choice. So rather than importing a CD for $50 and then realizing that, oh, this music isn't what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
One of our listeners has actually set up a radio station graveyard, which is listing all the stations that were shut down by CARP.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. His name's Smokehouse, and he's longtime listener, great guy, and has been actively working with the station for quite some time. And there's a lot of – all of our fans are not like these casual little, you know, 13- and 14-year-old kids that a lot of people think that's all that listens to the station. We've got doctors and lawyers. We've got people from all age categories. We have a lot of people who are interested in this type of music.
Uh-huh. Now, are you threatened by any of this legislation? If you're just using music that, you know, you've got permission from the band, do you have any problem? I mean, from the point of view of the of copyright, royalties, etc.
Under both rulings, if you do have permission from the artist, you are not under any threat.
Uh-huh.
Because what these things are set up is for stations that don't have dealings directly with the artists. These are sort of a blanket negotiation between all artists and all broadcasters, because some of the stations don't have the opportunity to talk to hundreds and hundreds of labels and artists, and that's originally why the RIAA in the States and BMG, all the different places in the States, and SOCAN were set up to begin with.
Right.
Is to collect it all together, make one portal for people to talk through and negotiate with the artists, a blanket kind of payment system that the artists can recoup through.
But that you must also remember, though, that when SOCAN and the RIAA came into being, the internet was not what it is today. And it's gone to the point now where communication with these bands, you know, before it has to be, you would have to be done with snail mail or trying to make phone calls and trying to document everything. Now it can be done in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So, and that is why Rant Radio, in answer to your question, are we threatened by this? Is there a chance that we're going to go off the air? I don't think so myself, but I do feel threatened by this. I think this is terrible. I think that there's a lot of small mom-and-pop organizations, sort of little radio stations, who maybe they're into Baroque music, or they're rebroadcasting really heavy twang bluegrass music. I have no idea, but right. The fact is that they do have listeners. They are these small communities that are going to be absolutely destroyed, and I think that's terrible. Computers should be to bring people closer together, not for regulation and these huge, you know, money gathering schemes, which is all this really is.
Yeah.
And for the most part, both of these agreements or proposals for CARP and Tariff 22 are based on flat fees.
Mm-hmm.
They do not take into account any type of income at all. And this will definitely destroy any non-profit stations, because they don't bring in any income. So this is not based on how much they're bringing in. And these people do it out of the goodness of their hearts. These people want to get the music to the people. Why else would they dedicate their computer systems and their bandwidth and lots of money they're putting into it to get the music out to the people?
One point I'd like to make, which a lot of people seem to have forgotten along this way, is this is not a question that is even remotely related to like Napster or Kazaa or any of these music sharing programs, these distributed programs. The music you get from those programs is CD quality and whatnot. When you're broadcasting over the internet, you have no say. Like if you were to tune into our station, the people who are listening have no say in what music we play. I mean, we play industrial music. They understand the format, but they can't request a song, and we don't provide these songs for people to download. And even if they were to take it off of one of our streams and record it with a tape player the way you would with a radio station, the quality is not there. So this is not a question of, are we stealing music and distributing stolen music? That's not the thing here. All we are is providing sampling for people, and not entire albums, only one or two songs at a lower quality that people can see, can hear, and then they're welcome to go and purchase the albums. Quite often in our talk shows, we tell people where they can go online to buy the album, and it's not about anyone being ripped off. Quite the contrary. I mean, some of if you got two bands, you've got Britney Spears, okay, who's got multi-millions of dollars worth of advertising behind her. I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting a Britney Spears ad. Yet, you have another talented band like SPF 1000, who, when you try to have any kind of, you never hear about them. So you tune into the station, you hear a song, you look at your broadcast, and you see they're there, wow, and then you're able to do research and find out where you can get more of this music.
And that's the difference. We can actually get in contact with these smaller bands, and they love the promotion. They welcome it,
right?
And they've sold CDs. Like many of the bands have contacted me and said people have bought CDs because they've heard it on your station. And a lot of the listeners email in and say, I love this music you're playing. Where can I get it? And I provide a link to each of the bands' websites where they can find the music and talk to the bands and get the music. And what Sean was talking about earlier there was that the CD quality that the lawmakers think that they're getting off of the internet is the whole reason that this came into to being with the DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act,
right,
of 1998. It was brought into being because that the record industry was afraid that people would bypass CDs altogether and just tape things off the internet. But that's contrary to the case. Most of this stuff is not CD quality.
Right.
And of course, we had the, as I'm sure you're aware, we had the same fears arise when radio was growing.
Exactly.
Everyone was terrified, oh no, if you play the music on the radio, then why will anyone buy albums? Right. And as they saw, even with this distributed file sharing and whatnot, record sales did not fall, they rose. Okay, it wasn't until just a couple of months ago where the record sales, after they put in all these laws and started regulating anything, that the record sales dropped. In essence, the record company shot themselves in the foot, and this is purely an education issue. These people do not know of what they are talking about. They don't understand the culture that is emerging about the music on the internet. They just don't get it, and they have no source where they can go and say, why do people listen? They're a money-driven society. They understand that we as radio stations are music-driven and art-driven. We are not money-driven. Therefore, that's why we can do this. We can distribute it in this way.
Right. What do you think will be fair in terms of paying for content, you know, to reimburse the content producers?
Well, despite what we sound like, I'm not opposed to the artists getting money for use of the songs on the radio stations.
Right.
But if the station is not making any money, then how can they ever pay money to the artists? So a fair scheme would be set up is a percentage of the income of the radio station be sent back to the recording industry. And that's how they currently do it on regular radio stations. I mean, I've got a statistic here. Compared to the over non-commercial rates of 1.9% on Canadian radio stations, for non-commercial radio stations, that is, it's astronomical how much they want from the internet broadcasting radio stations.
So the bottom line is if we're not making, like, if this, if you have a mom and pop organization who is sitting there and they're playing, you know, music that they're not, They're selling a product and they're drawing in advertising and then they're selling a product on a station. Well, that product constitutes revenue, and you bet they should pay.
Right.
But if they're not paying, or even furthermore, if you have permission from the artists, then there shouldn't be that problem. I mean, the World Intellectual Property Organization Copyright Treaty of 1996, okay, clearly states that you are the originator of the music, the original person who came up with the music, has the right of distribution, provided they have not signed that right away.
Yes.
And none of our bands, the bands that we play, are not signed. Therefore, we should be all right because they have said, yes, yes, please, play our music. We understand that you're not making any money, nobody's making any money, everything's cool.
Yeah.
They understand that it's a promotional tool for them and not a money-making scheme.
So the bottom line, the fair scheme is if the station makes money, the artists make money. No money for the station, no money for the artists.
Do you know what the impact of Tariff 22 will be if SOCAN's proposal goes through in terms of, you know, actually how much you'll be expected to pay?
Well, let's go over the CARP one first, because it does impact us as well.
Right.
The CARP one for non-commercial radio stations is down from the original one. It used to be 14 tenths of a cent per song per person listening, and they brought it down to 7 tenths of a cent, which is the RIA cried over and said that's completely unfair. So it was met halfway from zero to up to seven. And I've worked it out based on about 3 minute songs and about 40 people listening all year long. Works out to approximately $4,900 a year Rant Radio would have to pay, which is a little bit over our budget of $0 that we take in.
Yeah, considering every time we run a show or do whatever, I mean, we're doing it all for free. It's costing us time, and we have to pay for all our own hardware and upkeep here.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the CARP proposals actually backdate all the way back to the initial proposal of the DMCA back to October 28th, 1998. So adding all of that up, Rant Radio would have to $20,000 by October 20th, 2002 is when all the money is due.
And that's U.S. dollars?
That is U.S. dollars
as
well,
yes.
Yeah,
so that'd be like, what, $35,000 Canadian?
Yeah, quite a chunk for a station that doesn't make any money.
That would be a year's worth of income for me, which that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So going up to CARP, which is actually surprisingly worse. Tariff 22, which is surprisingly worse. So let's go to that. Okay, this is based on the number of listeners, unique listeners per month that you have. Let me just adjust the phone. It's getting a little bit fuzzy here. There we go.
Uh-huh.
We have about 5,000 unique listeners per month, I've estimated.
Uh-huh.
And the Tariff 22 proposal is 25 cents per listener per month, per unique listener per month. And based on that, it's about $1,250 a month, or $15,000 a year.
Which, again, is way out of control, because there's no way that any people who are just trying to circulate music are going to be able to pay that. I mean, it's just not possible.
Uh-huh.
So that's about three times as much as the CARP proposal, which is completely surprising.
Right, that's amazing.
And compared to a 1.9% if we actually broadcasted over FM or AM.
Yeah.
1.9, which would make it zero, of course, for a nonprofit.
Right. Now, you guys, you know, you explained to me why this, you know, how you got permission, etc.
Yes.
Can you go to CARP and to the Canadian, you know, copyright board and say, okay, this is our situation, we don't have to pay, or what?
That's the thing. That's the other thing with it. You still, even if you have permission from all these places and all these bands,
yeah,
you still have to provide logs to Tariff 22, to SOCAN and the RIAA or CARP.
Right.
And that's just not something that we have in effect right now. We don't keep logs. We don't spy on our users.
Right.
And that's something that we would be forced to do. We would have to report all the people connecting, and Given the people that listen to our type of music and our type of shows and our station, we're a very privacy-oriented type station.
Yeah, we cater mostly to the internet subculture and the counterculture. There's no, these people are that quite often industrial music fans and things of that nature. It's not part of their culture to just, you know, allow themselves to be monitored. That's not what these people are about. And furthermore, why should they be? I mean, we have permission from all of our artists. Why should we be logging this? It doesn't make sense.
And over the airwaves type radio stations don't have to do this because, well, it's impossible for them. So if they don't have to do it, why should we? Why do we have to pay more, have more restrictions, more laws than them? It sounds like a bit of a scare tactic.
And also, why would they want to know what kind of music you're listening to? I mean, at the risk of sounding extremely George Orwell here, I mean, isn't that somewhat odd that you would want to know who's listening to what kind of music?
Right.
And just take a listen to this. This is the original CARP rules for record keeping for all the songs you play. You'd have to give them 13 different items: the name of the service, channel of the program, type of program, date of transmission, time of transmission, time zone, numerical designation of the place of the sound recording within the program, duration of transmission, sound recording title, the ISRC code of recording, release year of the album, featured recording artist, retail album title, recording label, UPC code of the retail album, catalog number, copyright owner information, and musical genre. Oh. That sounds like it's...
That's choking you with red tape is what that is. And
also forces you not to use MP3s.
Yes.
You cannot use MP3s under the old laws. Fortunately, they did restrict that back quite a bit. And also, you had to have 7 pieces of data per listener. The name of the service, channel or program, date or time that the user logged in and logged out, time zone where the user lives, a unique user identifier, and the country in which the user received the transmissions. Now, that sounds like a little bit more information than they really need.
Yeah, like I'm surprised they didn't ask for the listener's dental records. The point here is that even though we have permission of the artist,
the
SOCAN is not involved here. Mind your own business. We are not involved with SOCAN. The artists we have given us full permission, given us access to their albums, have asked us to play this album. Why are they harassing us? I don't understand this. Nobody's making money. There's no money to be had. There's no greed to be had. Nobody's making profit. We're doing it for the love of art. And you being a Cambridge man, I'm sure that you've had more than enough exposure in history to how poetry and literature and all this went on and on throughout history. This is, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure rhymes. And this is just more of the same.
You've done research on some of my bits of my past I've almost forgotten myself.
Well, do we like to keep informed?
Well, we're those dangerous internet people, don't you know?
Right, yeah.
And the Tariff 22 also states that they can come in at any time and look through your logs.
Uh-huh.
Demand to audit the records any time during business hours.
Really?
I mean, what's during business hours?
We don't keep business hours. This isn't a business.
We're a bunch of guys broadcasting from a room who's been doing it for 2 years. And it's not like we haven't...
3.5.
Yeah, pardon me, 3.5 years. Time flies. But, I mean, we managed to... We rigged up an article in Wired. We got wound up getting in Spin because of the humor and what we've been doing. It's been a lot of fun. If you were to do a search on Google for anger download, you'll run into the article we did there. And that's another audio zine there. And there's a lot of good humor and fun to be had here. This is a free entertainment service that we're providing people. And we don't want to see it go the way of the dodo. Communities are slowly dying and dying and dying. The only communities a lot of people have left are through the internet. And I think that they're a valuable community. I think it's a community that people, you know, don't rate properly. And yet, with all these regulations and red tape, which is clearly not necessary for an organization such as ourselves, it's just going to choke us out.
Okay. And not only regulation, not only red tape, presumably, like, there's a big expense either in personnel or in technology to keep all that data.
Oh, definitely. I would have to change the way I run the radio station, and I just don't have the money.
Not only that, but more than any of this is our listeners' privacy.
Yes.
That's the number one thing. There is no way on this planet that I am ever going to hand over information about our listeners. It's just not going to happen. So it's just ludicrous. It's a ludicrous notion to ask, oh, by the way, tell us everything you know about the people who like you. I mean, come on. That's just nuts.
So do you think there's a chance you can turn this around, you know, with the kind of support you have, with the campaigning to, you know, get, like...
Well, CARP was a pretty big downer when that passed a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And usually Canadians follow the U.S. In regulations and laws, unfortunately. Well, I'm fighting as hard as I can. I put up the protest site, and I've got all the information to email and phone and mail... The person who is in charge of listening to the complaints. I mean, it's the Secretary General of Canada, whose name is Claude Mégot.
Uh-huh.
And I've put up some of the protest letters there, and all the news stories that we've been given exposure to on the internet.
right?
Bunch of news stories, a bunch of banners that been put up on people's pages. So we've gotten a lot of support. The downside is that we haven't gotten any response back from the Secretary General. Not one email, not one piece of mail back, which was truly disappointing.
Yeah, and let's be real, keeping with the reality of the situation, you know, some folks might call me a cynic here, but in today's day and age, it's all about he who hath the biggest guns of lawyers wins.
Right.
We do not have the cash to do battle on this field. We can't. So the only alternative we have left is to do what all other organizations, when threatened exactly the same way, have done throughout history. When jazz music was banned, they had to go to underground clubs. And this has been seen time and time again. When different literature was banned, you know, people set up private presses and ran their literature that way. And if that's what needs be, then that's what's going to wind up happening. They're not going to stop people from doing this. They're just going to drive it underground. And it's ludicrous. It's music.
They should be embracing the technology and learn how to use it, these big corporations like RIAA and SOCAN, and realize the potential that it could be, rather than just tax it to death and drive it underground.
Okay. I think that will do it, unless... I think I got your point.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
And thank you for the interview.
Yeah, right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.